celebrations, disappointments. We had some of both last night around the Upper Cumberland as round two of the high school football playoffs are in the books. Glad you're with us on a beautiful Saturday morning in the Upper Cumberland, where we talk high school sports every week. The high school playbook, built by Mountain Barn Builders. We'll talk with all of the coaches from last night's playoff participants around the area to talk about the wins and the losses. And unfortunately, a mixed bag of both during the course of last night. Let's get you the scores. First of all, DeKalb County scoring the win last minute over Marshall County. The final there, 28-24. David Bradford with two touchdown runs in that game as the Tigers score with just a minute left in the game. Axel Aldino, a 44-yard touchdown strike to give the Tigers the lead and the win by 4 points. Tigers now will head to Nolensville next Friday for a chance to continue their season. Nolensville gets the win over Livingston, the final there, 33-7, ending the historic season for the L.A. Wildcats. Nolensville outgaining Livingston 364-183. Nolensville scoring 23 points in the third quarter to take control of that football game. Upperman season is done. They fall to Red Bank by a 21-14 score. Donovan McAllister with a touchdown throw and a touchdown run. Clay County falls at South Pittsburgh by a 57-13 score. Jake Ashlock, 8 of 13 passing for 62 yards and an INT. On the ground, Clay County 130 yards rushing on 25 carries. Loudoun County defeats Smith County 41-7, the final score. Gordonsville defeats Whitwell 17-7, that final score. Glad to have Adam Kane, head coach of the Upperman Bees, with us here at Chick-fil-A Interstate Drive. After, I know it's cliche, but you're never ready when that season just crashes and the zeros are on the clock.
No, and you know, going back to when I was a player, I mean, you're just not prepared to, you know, to deal with the sudden end. And you know, I told the guys last night that I don't have the skills or you know, whatever to say the right things that'll make this hurt any less. But you know, at the end of the day, it's playoff ball, and the most usually ends up winning. And I'm afraid to say that might have been the case last night.
Turnovers, a big part of the storyline from Friday night.
Yeah, you know, especially in the first half, we had some opportunities. I think we got down in the red zone twice and had the fumble and an interception. And maybe if we got points there in the first half, it's a little bit different deal. You know, because I knew the guys would compete. I knew they would play. You know, the big thing is I felt like the drive they had, 99-yard drive, you know, against a defense that prides itself on, you know, playing really good ball. I think that was like a gut punch.
Yep.
And I think that demonstrated that they were there to play. And, you know, I'm not sure that we fully expected that. I mean, I don't want to say we were disrespecting them or overlooking them, but we felt pretty good about ourselves going in. And when they went 99 yards with some ease, maybe that kind of held us back, or, you know, kind of staggered us a little bit. And I don't know that we ever fully recovered.
The term gut punch is a right term, because mm-hmm. that's what it feels like when somebody drives that football from the longest possible drive that you can put together to score.
Yeah, and, you know, I give them credit. They made some plays. I looked at the stats, and they were 9 of 15 on third downs last night. So, you know, when they're converting third downs on you all night long, those are smaller gut punches. But, yeah, that first one, taking it all the way down and getting it in there. You know, we're a prideful group.
Sure.
And just to see somebody that, you know, we felt we were going to be able to play well against come in and do that. I don't know. It took us probably the rest of that half to, in our minds, maybe feel like, okay, this is going to be highly competitive and we need to play. And, you know, that sounds kind of ridiculous that that's the case, but, when you get in those environments and, you know, your season is on the line, you never know how you're really truly going to react. And, you know, I thought we came back second half and settled ourselves. You know, Donovan is going to keep us in any football game, and he did his thing and put us on his back again last night and brought us to within a score. But, you know, we couldn't get off the field there at the end either. So
I think it's interesting what you say, because every football team is different, and it doesn't matter what you have done the previous year or the year before that. Every team kind of has to find itself, and so I wonder, as you're saying that, I'm thinking, you know, was it a football team that some of those guys were feeling like, oh, wow,
yeah,
this is kind of it starts grinding the gears, so to speak.
I think so. You know, we had a lot of seniors that were really good players, but kind of, for the most part, complimentary players, even as seniors. You know, Donovan was really the only, you know, just true put you on your back type guy. You know, and last year we did have Blake. You know, at times we could lean on Cole Bush a little bit, and then Donovan was the leader on that team as well. So you got three, arguably four people who, when it gets kind of dicey, you know, you can get the ball to and expect to make plays. And, you know, we were young at filling those spots. And not just last night, but all year long, you know, people don't realize that those young guys, you know, it takes them – you can't grow up in a year. And they're going to play a lot better football moving forward. And I got to give a shout out to Daniel Metzger, Blake's little brother. He came in and competed, and I think had close to 100 yards receiving. And but we just didn't have the three-headed monster offensively to, you know, I think if you what the difference was last year, we would match those scores, and now all of a sudden the pressure is back on them. And it just took us till the fourth quarter to put any kind of game pressure back on them, because, you know, a lot of our offense Donovan was having to do on his own. And he's very capable, and he did his thing. But it just – I do think, you know, the gears were grinding, and everybody was kind of like, oh, my gosh, this could end tonight. And you really can't let it get there. You know, you got to answer scores, and you got to get off the field on D. And we just – you know, we just let them get a little too much separation.
The best football teams play loose and just play.
Yeah.
Adam Kane is with us talking Upperman football. So let's fast forward to the fourth quarter. You come out and get the deficit to 21-7 on a nice drive, mm-hmm. and then your defense makes a play.
Yeah, you know, we finally, you know, made that play we needed on defense, and, you know, a really nice lick on the quarterback, and of course he turned it over to us. You know, guys aren't used to getting hit like that. So, you know, he gave it back to us in good field position, and we were able to capitalize, get it down to, you know, a one-score game, and I felt pretty good at that point. But they – you know, and we had them in a third and eight. And I struggled all night long with that call, the third and eight call, because, you know, what we saw them do going in was we didn't want to let the quarterback get loose on the weak side. So we felt like we needed to bring some pressure on that side, but that leaves our corner one-on-one, and they kept hitting the slant route on the backside, and I just felt handcuffed. I was trying to help ourselves out there all night long, and they just kept going to it. You know, I felt like we for sure got out-coached last night, and if anybody's to blame, it's me. I don't know that I fully had them prepared. And their coaches did a really good job from the sideline of seeing what we were doing and kind of counterpunching that. And I give them credit. And so, I feel it. You know, it's no easier as a coach. I mean, I'm heartbroken. And, you know, I put a lot of time and effort and energy into it and a lot of time away from my family. And, you know, you want to be successful in those situations, and I didn't feel like I did, you know, a whole lot to help our group out last night.
Some would wonder, did you consider an onside kick at 21-14?
Yeah, I did, but we tried one at 21-7, and it wasn't even close. And so at that point, I didn't want the ball to be at midfield. I wanted to, you know, and it was really a good situation. They came out with their hands team, and we were able to pop it way over their heads. And I mean, I think they had the ball first and 10 at their minus 7. So it worked out good. We couldn't get a stop. We couldn't stop the slant route last night, and I'm going to spend all off season trying to figure out how to stop a weak side slant, I can tell you that.
Can you put into perspective, and I know it's hard this morning, but can you put into perspective Donovan McAllister's career?
I don't know that I've got the words to do it. Just ultra competitive. His numbers are... I mean, I may get some pushback from this, but he's the best football player to ever walk the halls of that school. And, you know, some people can say that he's not, but he did it on both sides of the ball, you know, for 2 years that I was there. He was 27-5 as a starting quarterback at Upperman. Nobody can say that. And he just, you know, he's got a strong back because he carried us a lot this year from game one to, you know, to game 12. And, you know, a great kid and, you know, showed up to work every day, was a joy to coach. And, you know, to say that we'll miss him in the Upperman football family is, that doesn't do it justice. I gave him a big hug last night and, you know, but that was heartbreaking to see him walk out the door for the last time.
Bees fall to Red Bank 21-14. What do you think the lessons that those freshmen and sophomores learned from him?
Well, I think the biggest lesson you can learn from him is if you want to be any good, it's got to mean a lot to you. And we talked about that last night. And I talked about the legacy that senior class left. You know, when I was with them, we went 23-3, and we went from you know, kind of a whatever 3A team to a state powerhouse in the 3A division, and they left a legacy that I'm not going to let anybody tarnish, and you know, with him exiting the building, that's going to take a lot of soul searching on these young guys to, first of all, figure out whether or not they really want to work hard enough to be a part of something like that. And we talked about it last night after we honored the seniors. You can call it a challenge or a threat, however you want to look at it, but the heat's about to get turned up, and we're going to find out who's going to be the next guy to be able to step up and lead this program.
Because it starts Monday, right?
It will this year, yes, sir. You know, last year we had a pretty long run into the Thanksgiving break, and I gave them 3 weeks off, and we started back after Christmas. But we don't have that kind of luxury. I believe we'll get going in the weight room Monday, And you know, if I see things that I don't think are conducive to getting back to the level we want to be at, then there'll be some repercussions. But, you know, I fully expect the guys will respond, and I think we've got enough talent left and some guys coming up that we'll be able to, you know, hopefully defend our region title again next year.
Final question, Adam Kane, Upperman head coach. For a coach, does the ache ever go away?
It doesn't. It really doesn't. And even as a player, I mean, you know, it was 1988 the last time I put pads on. And we lost. I played at McCauley, and we lost to Murfreesboro, Oakland in the playoffs. And it stings, and it I don't know that I ever fully recovered from that. Maybe that's why I got into coaching. But each year, to see the heartbreak and to know how hard we worked and how much time and effort we put in, it's just the sudden death is just, it's unreal. It's, you know, if you really care about it and really, you know, put into it what it takes to be a good football player and a good football team, it's got to break your heart. And I really don't know how to get over it, and so I'm not a very good head coach when it finally does come to an end, because I don't know the words to say to the kids, because I still haven't figured out myself how to get over it from 30 years ago. So it's heartbreak time. I think that's what makes the playoffs so cool. And you know, but at the end of the day, I'm gonna give Red Bank credit, and I think, you know, what's lost in all of it is they've got a really good team, and they pushed us to our limit and came out on top. And so I'm going to give them credit, and I'm also going to take away, you know, a 10-win season and a back-to-back region championship with this group is, I think, unprecedented at the school as well. So I'm still prideful about it, but I'm heartbroken as well.
Thank you for all the time this year.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate it.
I love it. I love you. Appreciate y'all having me. And you know, I think I really appreciate what y'all do for high school sports.
Thank you. Adam Kane, head coach of the Upperman Bees, as the Bees fall to Red Bank 21-14 Friday night. There's some hamlets across the state of Tennessee where high school football is very, very special. They take it very seriously. They talk about it just the way the Tennessee Vols fans or Crimson Tide fans talk football all year round. One of those places is Marshall County, Lewisburg, right down I-65 from Nashville. And last night, the DeKalb County Tigers went to Lewisburg and ended the football season for Marshall County. Glad you're along this morning on the High School Playbook, built by Mountain Barn Builders, as we bring in head coach Steve Trapp of the DeKalb County Tigers. Last-minute victory last night, 28-24. Coach, congratulations.
I appreciate it, Larry. You know, our guys have been playing some pretty good football over the last couple weeks, and first time in history we've made it this far in the playoffs. I'm just really proud of our program right now.
Does it mean a little more to go to a place like Lewisburg where there's such a football tradition and to take away this win?
I mean, it just feels really good right now. You know, I wouldn't have cared where we had got it, but, you know, they've been touted as a really tough football team all year, and they were. And, you know, we had some ups and downs in that game, and they did too. And it's one of those, as a fan, it was a tremendous football game to watch. As a coach, there's moments in there you want to pull your hair out, but, you know, at the end of the night, our guys made enough plays to win that football game.
You get on the board first in the first quarter last night.
We did, and that's kind of different than how it's been the last couple of weeks. We always kind of find ourselves behind and, you know, continue to play. But, yeah, didn't start to come out really well. I think we had a turnover on our first possession. Made a bad decision right there. They got an interception. But, I mean, really the star of the night was our defense. They bailed us out, pushed them back. Didn't give up any points, and they had the ball on short field. So then we get the ball back and you know, get a good play on first down, and a lot of times that really helps us out. And he was able to throw a touchdown pass to Desmond Oaks, who has really come alive here at the end of the season for us.
What was the key to the first down play?
Really, you know, we threw a lot of screens against Tullahoma, and we knew that they would be coached up against that. But again, it was one of those situations where we kind of run a screen and disguised it differently than we have all year. We was able to get a chunk play right there on first down and really build some momentum and just feed off that. So Dino threw a good ball to Alan Munoz out there on the edge, and you know, he wiggled through there and got us some yards there on first down.
So you're up 7-0. Then Marshall County comes back and they take the final 10 points of the first half, 10-7 at the halftime break. What'd you say in the locker room?
So really, seven of those points, we're on our defense. You know, we fumbled out on a punt, and our punter picked it up, and then he got hit and he fumbled, and they was able to scoop and score that. And then, you know, our defense bailed us out again. You know, Marshall County had the short field, and, you know, they drove down in there, and then we, you know, a red zone stand, and then they've got an outstanding kicker. So they were able to kick a field goal. Just really at halftime, it was about, well, you know, it's about what we, about the mistakes that we've made, you know, in the special teams game and even on the offensive side of the ball. And, you know, that's allowed them to get to where they were. So we just wanted to make sure that, you know, we keep our simple mindset as far as just putting on our helmet and doing what we're expected to do with great effort.
Your defense comes out strong again in the third quarter and really holding Marshall County in check. You mount another drive.
Yeah, and it, you know, it was really big. Like I said, it wasn't always clean in there. Running the football last night was proved to be challenging. You know, they were doing some different things up front than what we had seen. And, you know, we were battling in there, but wasn't really getting a whole lot of things in the run game. So we went through some stuff again that, you know, we really haven't shown all year. And, you know, some of our receivers made some big-time catches. Again, this couple weeks in a row when all of them, you know, paid dividends of making catches. Isaac Nose, another big chunk play for us down the sideline, just made an outstanding catch over somebody that got close, and we were able to punch it in from there.
David Bradford with the touchdown run. So 14-10 at that point. Marshall County comes through with a couple of scores at that point to make it 24-14, and your guys just said, okay, let's get back to work.
Yeah, 24-14, you know, around 7 minutes, a little over 7 minutes left to go right there. And then they had a, we had them in, I believe it was third and long situation, and they had a trick play, very unique trick play. It was a very good call. It's just one of those where, you know, as a staff, we're on the headset on the sideline and just, you know, hey, kudos, good call, you got it. And they executed it perfect. There was a lot of moving parts to it, but they did a good job with that. But, yeah, a little over seven minutes to go, we're down by 10. And again, it's just, you know, we're telling our guys, you know, what's done is done. Let's just focus on what we can control. And we're going to have to go a little faster. You know, we need to make some plays offensively and then make some plays defensively, use our timeouts, and then have a shot to get this at the end. And like I said, our guys stepped up and made enough plays to get that done.
What was the key in your mind in the drive that got it to 24-21, capped off by David Bradford's second touchdown of the game? What was the key to that drive?
Well, again, you know, we got into a formation and stuff that we really hadn't seen all year. And, you know, Dino made some good reads on it. They had actually, it was probably the same concept that they had left open about three times that we were able to hit for some chunk yards. And they never really adjusted to it. The one time they did cover just a catch I was talking about a few minutes ago with Isaac Knowles. But we were able to hit some chunk plays down there and get down there close. And like I said, Bradford's not played offense all year. You know, it's still not 100% healthy. He's been playing defense the last 2 weeks. But get down there close to the goal line, you know, just big running back with a lot of power. And wanted to make sure that we could move that pile a little bit. So he was able to get in the end zone twice for us, and that was key.
So it's 24-21 at that point, and you need your defense to come through for you, and they did.
Yeah. You know, I think there's one play in the game that Marshall County made, wish they had back. It was a third down play, the drive before that, where they threw the ball and it was incomplete. And I didn't have to use a timeout right there, which really paid dividends for us in that next drive. So they could have took off another minute of the clock probably or something like that. That really would have helped them out there in the end of the game. So that was huge for our part. You know, and then our defense, again, they stepped up. We got them in a third down situation at the beginning of that drive, so I had to use one timeout there. But like I said, having all three of those in that situation instead of only two really helped us out. And then because we were able to use, got them in a third down situation again, we had to call a timeout. Then we got them in fourth down situation, stopped them again, and called a timeout. So we had no timeouts. You know, not a lot of time left, and then it was a two-minute drill at its finest. Had some good plays in that, had some ugly plays in that, but ultimately 40 seconds left to go in the game. They put a rush on us. Dino beats the rush. He scrambles out to the right, and Tajon Ledette, you know, the scramble drill, we work it every week. He took off down the sideline, and their guy come up. He throws it over his head for the winning touchdown.
That one will take some years off your heart, won't it?
Man, I think I've aged quite a few years this year. Just you know, the way we started and the way we're playing right now. And that's one thing I told the guys after the game is, which we talked a lot, Larry, we talked early in the season about the, you know, the mental makeup is, you know, really the challenging part. And, you know, it's just something we keep talking to our guys about. You know, and it's still not perfect by no means, but, you know, their mental makeup over the last half of this season has definitely grown. And I can't be more proud of those guys for that.
Especially, Steve Trapp, when you consider that both parts of your football team, three parts obviously, but your offense, your defense, they both have to make plays there in that final couple of minutes for you to even have a chance.
Definitely. Like I said, in the defense, you know, they bailed us out a few times, like I said, at the beginning of the game, in the middle of the game. And then, like I said, and even the special teams, we had one moment right there. You know, we had that bad snap, and we picked it up. We fumbled, and you know, I got on my punter a little bit, but I mean, it wasn't his fault. He was trying to make a play. I just told him, and again, and I tell him all the time, guys, I'll get evil for a few seconds, but then I'm ready to go the next play, and I just need y'all to go there with me. He comes back the next time we punt and has a 62-yard punt.
Wow.
And totally flipped the field position, you know, in our favor. So that's his best punt of the year. And, you know, so just a big pat on his. They know Noah Roberts come out with a timely punt after his last attempt was not a very good one. And he hurt a little bit from me. You know, so, again, you know, he didn't lose his mind. He just went back out there and did his job on the next play. And it paid huge for us.
Obviously a huge win, but you're not done yet. How do you get that message across, or do you even have to worry about that with your football team? Hey, we won, but let's keep going.
Well, I would like to think that I wouldn't have to worry about it, but, you know, I've been in it long enough that you can never assume anything as far as the mental makeup of teenagers. So, you know, again, our thing is you know, I've not talked to him a whole lot about playoffs. You know, we had a home playoff game. Everybody around us was like, yeah, home playoff. You know, we played well at home. I never talked to him about that. And you know, I've said it many times over the last couple weeks, and these guys may be sick and tired of hearing it. But, and I don't know if it's working or not, but we're still playing, and that's all that matters. And like I said a few moments ago, it's a keep it simple philosophy right now. Guys, just put your helmet on and do what we ask you to do with the best of your ability. And we'll worry about everything else when we take care of business. You know, so that's the thing. You know, if we keep winning, we'll worry about what we got to do next. But as we're in the moment, we just got to take care of the moment that we're in the best we can.
Enjoy this moment. This is special.
We definitely are. Definitely are.
DeKalb County 28, Marshall County 24. And the Tigers move on in the state playoffs. Head coach Steve Trapp, thanks for the time, Coach.
I appreciate it as always, Larry. Thank you.
From UCSportsNation.com, here's the scores from last night. Round two of the state playoffs in the Upper Cumberland. Nolensville beats Livingston Academy 33-7. DeKalb County 28, Marshall County 24. South Pittsburgh ends the season for Clay County 57-13. Red Bank 21, Upperman's 14. Loudoun beats Smith County 41-7. Gordonsville downs Whitwell 17-7. Glad you're with us from Chick-fil-A Interstate Drive, where we talk high school sports every week into basketball season. In fact, next week we'll start our preview of the upcoming hoops season. It's here, isn't it? All right, let's talk some Livingston Wildcats football. It was a game last night where the things you don't expect from Livingston happened. Missed field goal, snapped punt over the punter's head for a safety, fumble return for a touchdown. As we bring in Bruce Lamb, the head coach of the Livingston Academy Wildcats. Coach, I guess the word that comes to my mind in looking at it is uncharacteristic.
It definitely was uncharacteristic. These kids have come out and played great this year. You know, it wasn't our best game. And, you know, taking nothing away from Nolensville, they're a good football team. Our kids played extremely hard, and we watched the game breaks last night. And, you know, to make it to Cookeville in the state championship, you got to have things go your way. And last night just wasn't our night.
Had to be just so tough for you to walk in that locker room when it was done.
It was very tough. A lot of sad faces in there. 14 seniors who just have given everything in this program. They came in as boys 4 years ago and was 2-8, and then to leave 4 years later as young men and have win 11 games in a row and finish at 11-1. Now, it's a special group, and I'm awful proud of them.
Can you put into words what that group has meant to this school and this program?
I don't know if you can. I've thought of words to say. I just thought just special, just an incredible group, and they have revitalized our program and set new standards for everybody that comes in, and it's going to be a lot of big shoes to fill in the next couple of years. These sophomores and juniors that we got, but I can't say enough about them. That's a great group of young men.
And it's not just, you're certainly closer to it than I, but from afar, it's not just what they did, it's how they did it, how they took care of their business.
Absolutely. I've coached 27 years, and probably the most unselfish bunch I've ever been around. They just, and the love for each other that they have, you see it on the field every day. No one cared who got the ball. Nobody cared who caught the ball or who made the tackle or who scored the touchdown. They didn't care. They just wanted to win, and they did it with class. No mouthing, no extracurricular things, and just a great group. And I never had any trouble with them outside the classroom and outside of school. It's just a great group of young men.
Livingston Academy Coach Bruce Lamb with us on the High School Playbook as the Wildcat season comes to a close Friday night. This is a very tight football game in the first half. You're down 3-0, and then you have an injury.
Yeah, that's a big injury. Cole Spears, who's been a 4-year starter on both sides of the ball and the offensive line. He's our left tackle and defensive tackle. Third leading tackler on our team. He's got the most tackles for losses. And, if we need a yard, we're going behind him. He got rolled up and high ankle sprain, maybe an Achilles. I don't know. They're going to evaluate it again today. But we lose him, and it was just like a loss in our family. And you could see in the guy's eyes, it was just a little chaos started to happen. And that snowball started to get a little bigger. And before we could ever stop it, it was the fourth quarter. A quarter and a half of not knowing what to do, and I was kind of guessing while we were out there. But those are the things that happen in the playoffs.
But you're still in it at halftime, and I'm sure that was your message to your team in the locker room.
Absolutely. I think we were down 10-0 going into the halftime, getting the ball when we come out the second half. They make a great play on us, and we have to punt, and we snap the ball over the punter's head, and their punter gets it out of bounds on the back of the end zone. We get up the safety, and we couldn't stop the bleeding for the rest of the quarter. But that's the way it goes.
You have to, in that kind of situation as a coach. I mean, it's like a helpless feeling, isn't it? The snowball is rolling, and you can't stop it.
Absolutely. I mean, you can say a lot of things and do some things, but it's got to be somehow. It's got to be stopped, and sometimes it can't be. And you got to get a break or two, and we didn't get those. It's a very helpless feeling.
We talked about the seniors and what they've meant, and just how this team has worked together. The atmosphere last night from all that attended, just amazing. What do you say about the fans of the Wildcats?
Hey, I tell you, we got some of the best fans there in the state of Tennessee. They come out cold, snow, rain, whatever it is. They come out to our games, and they follow us wherever we go. We always have a great bunch of fans and students there, and I can't say enough about them. I appreciate them so much coming out and support these young men. They they love Hawkeyes in Livingston, and you know, that's a thing that is very personal to a lot of people, and I'm glad it is, and I appreciate what these fans do.
What do you hope the lessons from this team are for those younger guys who maybe, you know, didn't get a chance to play, but were on the practice field and are going to be the root of this team going forward?
Well, I hope that they saw how hard these young men, these seniors, have worked, you know, in the off season. That's the main thing. I mean, everybody can, you know, we go out for two and a half hours a day, and, you know, you can get coached, but it, what makes you a great player, a great team, is what you do in the off season and behind the scenes. And I hope they saw this bunch that just finished their careers last night, that you can, you know, that hard work, and it pays off. And I hope they'll take that with them, and hope they start to work on Monday.
Livingston Academy falls to Nolensville, 33-7, the final score Friday night. Head coach Bruce Lamb, we appreciate your time throughout the season. You've been most generous, and congratulations on what has been an amazing and memorable season.
Well, thank you, Larry. I appreciate everything you do, and I want to say a big congratulations to Coach Steve Trapp. I mean, I'm proud that the DeKalb County Tigers were winning last night. He is a well-deserving head coach, and I wish them the best of luck, and I hope they win the whole daggum thing. But thank you very much, Larry.
Thanks, Coach.
The gentlemen that bring our coverage to you on UCSportsNation.com as we continue with the high school playbook. Built by Mountain Barn Builders, one team in the Upper Cumberland remains. Good luck to DeKalb County as they continue on in the high school football playoffs as we keep marching down the road to Cookeville. As you look around the state, a lot of the teams that are generally in the mix are in the mix again this year. It'll be interesting to see how the next 2 weeks play out. Rafferty Cleary calls Upperman B's games for us at UCSportsNation.com. Justin Matheny, Rusty Ellis do all the hard work and the heavy lifting, covering all the sports. You know, sometimes, Rafferty, when you watch games, either as an observer or as you're broadcasting games, you see that a team looks tight, that it looks as though that the game is more mental right now than it is physical. Could you see that in Upperman last night?
Definitely. I think Coach Kane was talking about it earlier, the 99-yard drive that Red Bank was able to put together earlier in that football game, and once they were able to capitalize on that drive, you kind of saw Upperman's attitude change, I guess. Obviously, they bounced back in the second half and started playing a little bit better, but I think that was a huge change in the ball game when they were able to march down the field. And people forget, you had them at third and long, pinned back on their own one, and they completed a 20-yard pass down the field, and that opened up that drive for Red Bank. You get a stop there. I don't know if the whole outcome of the game changes from that point.
Justin, you've spent a lot of your life around high school football in this area. You look at what Upperman has done the last 2 years. Monterey has an undefeated regular season. Livingston Academy has an undefeated regular season. Is it fair to say the quality of high school football in this area is improving?
Oh, undoubtedly. Throughout my entire life, you look at Jackson County and Monterey, some of those schools were never really competitive. And starting with Upperman, they were a 5 or 6 year football program when I was in high school. So with just the growth in this area in general, with more people moving here, there's more athletes here, but the quality of coaches are a lot better as well. You've got good coaches across the board, and they're good men. Interviewing these coaches every week, talking to their players, we don't have any kids who are disrespectful. They're all yes sir, no sir kids, and that comes from the top down. And Coach Kane's a great example of that, Coach Maynard as well. I played for Coach Hughes in high school. He was my position coach, and Coach Lamb coached with my dad. All these guys around here do it the right way.
You know, one of the undersold stories of this year, just from the standpoint we all talk about playoffs, and that's the natural part of sports, but the resurgence of White County's football program. I mean, to accomplish what they accomplished, when you look at the not just the last couple of years of history, but there's a long history of that football program struggling.
Yes, sir. And when I was in high school, played at Cookeville, we had beat White County for over 20-something years in a row, and one or two of those games are only competitive. So what Coach Frazier was being able to do, coming in there as an alum, he was a middle school coach. So when he got to the school, he knew a lot of those kids who maybe weren't playing and was able to convince some of those kids who he coached growing up to come out and play, and just the mentality and the culture change of what they were able to do and coming in there and lifting weights and running and holding the kids accountable. Not saying that wasn't going on before, but it was just different. Came from a different guy, coming from a different mouth, and he was phenomenal to work with all season. They had some really good players, and they should, you know, have a chance to improve as they go on next year.
Rafferty, it's interesting because the decision last year that was made right after the football season that they were not going to play in a conference but were basically going to go it as an independent, not something you see very often, but I'm sure that's part of the story, but it's not the whole story. Some would say, well, yeah, you're playing all 1A and 2A teams, which is why your record's better. That's not the story at White County.
No, not at all. You know, what's interesting, I was kind of carry off what Justin was just saying about Coach Fraser down in White County. You know, I fully believe that teams play like they're coached. And I think when you watched White County this year, they really played like their coach. Coach Fraser has came in, put his head down, and gone to work. And every single week you saw White County improve, a consistent improvement throughout the year. And that's what makes these teams in the Upper Cumberland so fun to watch. We've got some really good coaches that care about their program and care about improving each and every week. You see that when you watch Upperman play. You see that when you watch Cookeville play. And we saw that this year when we watched White County play. They just go to work, and they're playing like they're coached. And we've got a lot of coaches here in this area that really, really appreciate what they're doing, care about the programs, and care about improving.
Rusty, you spend a lot of time at UCSportsNation.com talking to players. I think we would be remiss as we kind of talk about the football season that's coming to a close if we didn't talk about the special breed of players. We have witnessed 3, 4, 5, you put whatever number you want on it, but some of the best players maybe to ever play at their particular high school.
Yeah, the level of talent that we've seen this year has been almost unreal. You know, when you just look at quarterbacks alone and you see guys like Donovan McAllister, Will McDonald, Stockton Owen, these are just guys that have come out and just have played incredible this year, and they've led their teams to many great wins. You know, we've covered so many great games. I couldn't pick out a favorite one because it felt like every week we just saw something new from a lot of these guys.
What about those players, Justin?
Rusty hit on it. You know, the quarterbacks in this area, and I want to speak out to Axel Aldino there at DeKalb County. They had a really tough start of the season. They turned it over 9 times in their first game against Warren County. They really had a tough game against Upperman, got beat 35-0 the second week. And Coach Steve Trapp, he never wavered in his confidence from Axel. He stayed true to him, and they just kept pounding away, chipping away. And the second they got that turnover bug figured out, they started winning games, and they had a huge win last week. That'll be their 5th playoff win of all time. He's a phenomenal player. There's a great safety down there at Warren County, C.J. Taylor. He had the hit of the year in week 1 against DeKalb County, absolutely flat back to running back out. It was a great play. No, we cover both those schools, but it was just a great player-on-player play right there. He's a phenomenal prospect for the college ranks for next season. He's about 6'1", 205, plays football, basketball, a really good basketball player, Warren County's best basketball player. But he was very, very impressive. And then Clay County, for them to win their first playoff game in that area since 1997, that was a huge testament to Coach Johnson, what he's been able to do there. They've got a good group of young players that they think they can build on. They had a preseason All-State selection in Dalton Goad. And then I think a player that didn't get a lot of state recognition because he played at Monterey, because Monterey blew so many people out, was Jordan Key. And he didn't play in the fourth quarter a lot of those games. If he plays all the games, you probably see him in that Mr. Football mix as well.
I was just going to say, you talk about the breed of players we have here in the Upper Cumberland, but what's also fun to watch, not in terms of superstars, the Donovan McAllisters, but there's players, one that stands out to me in Carter Shanks, where, they're not a superstar, but they really dominate the position that they play. And what's fun to watch is how they improve each and every game. Carter Shanks, a sophomore for Upperman this year, and from game 1 to last night's game, I really saw improvement each and every week. And they're good football players in terms of not being a superstar, but they dominate their position, and it's really fun to watch players like that. Mason Bowman at Monterey, really dominates his position. May not be a superstar, but he's a great football player in terms that he wants to get better each and every week. That's really fun to watch and has been fun to watch this season.
Another part of that is just seeing that these young men are having more opportunities in terms of colleges. I was talking to Bruce Lamb earlier in the week, and you know, Will McDonald is in a position where there's some schools looking at him where he can come in and play instantly. And for a lot of these guys, you know, Tennessee Tech was kind of where they ended up going for many years. Now there are a lot more opportunities because the quality of football has improved. Thank you all for your work all season long, but hey, they're just getting started. We got basketball season rolling in here quick, and then it'll be right into baseball and softball. Rafferty Cleary, Justin Matheny, Rusty Ellis of our UC Sports Nation team, online ucsportsnation.com. It's powered by East Tennessee Dodge. So DeKalb County will keep the Upper Cumberland flag flying next week as they continue on to round three of the state playoffs. They will be at Nolensville next week. We'll, of course, have that game covered for you at ucsportsnation.com. We also send out our congratulations to Gordonsville. They advance to round three. They will take on South Pittsburgh next Friday night in South Pittsburgh. And another kind of regional game, not necessarily Upper Cumberland per se, but Trousdale County and Watertown are going to face off next week. And that one will be a doggone good football game. A lot of interest in that particular game. Next week, we're going to turn our attention to basketball. We'll preview the upcoming hoop season across the Upper Cumberland, starting with girls basketball. Hope you'll be with us next Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. Our show today produced by Maddie Greider, studio producer Will Hearn, UCSportsNation.com, directed by Justin Matheny, assistant director Rusty Ellis. I'm Larry Stone. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.